losing sight. Let's go to war. Let's go to war!
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. We got ourselves a little Giants-Dolphins preview. I've been to the two most previous Giants-Dolphins game. Won't be at this one, unfortunately. Justin, how are you feeling? And who the hell is going to be our quarterback? I 10 minutes before we started recording, I was confident that I was like, oh, wow, Daniel Jones is actually going to play. And then Pat Lehner comes out with a report saying that they're still expecting Glennon to be the starter. So I don't know if this is the most ultimate smokescreen, but also you see Daniel Jones out there throwing and you would assume he's playing. I don't know. I'm so confused and it's frustrating me prep-wise.
Bobby, you know, Tuesday night we recorded and I was hot. I mean, you weren't feeling that well and I'll ask you how you're feeling, but I was hot. I was running hot. And I was mentally prepared on Tuesday night and the last time that we hopped in front of a microphone. And I was like, I'm mentally preparing myself to be open to the possibility of drafting a quarterback if Jones misses a few weeks. Because that Tom Pelissero report, and what was also confirmed by Ian Rappaport, is that Jones was not game to game. He was week to week, and that Glennon was starting. And now, the next day, like literally the next morning and early afternoon on Wednesday, Jones is like, I'm kind of good. I'm kind of good. And, you know, he Joe Judge didn't even know until like after the game and like on Monday that Jones even had like an injury or a neck problem. And, you know, so we're thinking Tuesday night that Jones is out and, you know, kind of these next few weeks are kind of irrelevant. And we got so excited that things were going to be a little bit different under Freddie Kitchens and, ooh, what is this offense going to look like? To now I'm back in, but now I'm like, I don't know what to think. And it's not fair, the emotions that we're being put through right now. At least me. How are you? How are you feeling?
I'm all right. It's just I don't know what to expect at the quarterback position. Although I don't think it changes a ton with the game plan, honestly, because you know Glennon's got, you know, it's not Colt McCoy, you know, where it's like with Jones to McCoy, it's like, man, there's a serious like difference in arm talent. Where Glennon has good arm talent. Now he's a lot more erratic and he can make some dumber decisions. But it's like Glennon has some arm talent. And I actually think it's a decent matchup with Miami. Like, I'm looking forward to playing this Miami defense. I know they've been really good the past 4 weeks.
But they've played some bad teams. And now the Giants are a bad team too. But Miami's played some really bad offenses in that span. Baltimore is included in that, though.
Yeah. They, you know, it's a good win versus Baltimore. But, like, you know, they beat the Texans, the Jets, and then the Panthers. Now, and again, they are the second highest, blitz rate in the NFL right now at 38%. And they run those cover zero blitzes. But it's as a team with a bad offensive line, I actually look forward to playing these type of teams more, Justin. Because guess what? We're used to pressure. We're used to having pressure on our QB. But guess what? Now we're getting that pressure and there's less guys in coverage. And there's more chances for big plays, you know? Like, as a team with a bad offensive line, I'm looking forward to playing a blitz-heavy team. I really am. I know it can breed more. It can breed more big mistakes, but it also can breed more big plays, and that excites me. Compared to playing against an Eagles team, where they're going to sit back, and with our bad offensive line versus their good defensive line, it's going to be hard to, you know, run as an offense.
Yeah, the Dolphins have allowed the most yards in the National Football League this year. Their average depth of target per play given up on defense in terms of when teams throw the ball against them, that's really high, and they're ranked 26th as a defense in allowing the explosive pass play. So, you know, they're bottom quarter in the National Football League at allowing the big explosive pass play. Against the Eagles, you know, I'm sitting here saying, you know what, I expect a few 15 to 19-yard plays and stuff like that, and, you know, we'll take what a defense can give us, but this is a game where I know the Dolphins blitz a lot, I know they pressure the quarterback a lot, but this is a game where I am fully expecting big explosive plays, and I want to see a few. I want to see a few big explosive plays. You saw it a little bit with Freddie Kitchens with the crossing routes over the middle of the field that
let those should kill him this week. You should kill him with those.
That's exactly how you beat a blitz-heavy defense is play action, play action, play action, regardless of whether that running game is working. Play action, play action, play action to death, and crossing routes over the middle of the field. That should be the game plan against this Miami defense.
Well, and just, you know, not running timing concepts, which is what the Jason Garrett offense was built around, where it's, like you said, you have those crossing routes that are multiple window throws, where a curl route is, it's very, like, has to be at perfect timing. There's only a certain window you can throw it in, where, you know, a crossing route, we saw Slayton get some yak. We saw John Ross get some yak.
Shepard, you know, is going to be back hopefully this week, you know,
and then they ran. Yeah, I want to talk about that, but like even like running slant flats, which they did a ton versus Philly, which works versus zone and man coverage, but even works better versus man coverage because it's such an easy read when they're blitzing. It's like, okay, I got to get this slant out. I know pressure's coming. I might have to throw it off my back foot, but I know I got this slant. I know it's there. You know, you get into trouble when they have those guys lined up and they drop back. But I feel like you got to kind of avoid third down to get out of those situations.
Yeah, first and second down efficiency, yeah.
Shep practice on Thursday. If he can play, Tony, I'm not expecting to play. Tony would be a game changer for this game. He really would. Like, is this – all right, this might
– tell me.
I'd almost rather have Tony with Glennon than Jones with no Tony. You know what I mean? Because like I feel like Tony can be a game changer in this game.
Sold in Dallas, you know.
Because you don't need to have great QB play to get the ball out quick to Tony versus man coverage. You know what I mean?
For the purposes of winning,
actually,
this
I don't
game,
believe that.
But, it's kind of a pseudo good point because for the purposes of winning this game, having Tony with Glennon is awesome because just having Tony with the yards after the catch, and also imagine Kadarius Tony in an offense that is sort of good at getting yards after the catch like Freddie Kitchens, which is different play calling tendencies. But at this point, just from an evaluation standpoint, it's more important to have Daniel Jones out there no matter who the wide receivers are. So,
and if Shep plays, that makes a huge difference too. Yeah. You know, like, it'd rather have, you know, I don't believe that, but like part of it creeps into me because I just think that's how big of an impact Tony could make on this game.
But 80% catch rate Shep is a thing, and you know we've said it for 2 years now, and it's been unfortunate about how much time that he's missed. But Shepard, when he's on the field, is also tremendously important to Daniel Jones too, where that's like his guy, that's his target, that's his security blanket. So that's very, very important to have, especially if there's a blitz that's coming and there's pressure and guys are breathing down Daniel Jones's neck. You know, hey, where's Sterling Shepard? I know exactly where he's going to be on the field because we have such a good connection. And then that's the guy that could be open in the intermediate part of the field for you.
As far as our O-line versus their D-line, obviously left guard through right tackle is going to be bad, but I'm actually looking forward to seeing Andrew Thomas versus Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips, last couple games, he's put up some really good numbers, like 4 sacks, like 7 tackles. Like his numbers the last 2 games are better than his previous 10. And I think Thomas can shut him down. I really do. I think, like, I really want the Dolphins fan base, who's probably like super hyped for Jalen Phillips right now, to be brought back down to earth with Andrew Thomas facing him.
I would love it. Let's do it.
And then Emmanuel Ogbah versus Nate Solder will be an issue.
Solder versus anybody. You
know, I think I'm going to retire the Nate Solder versus Matt Parrott conversation. It's like Rob Sale came out and said, "Listen, we just think he's better." Okay, like I'm just gonna retire. It's like, and also it's not like I think Parrott's gonna be something great, and his criticisms of Parrott are true. You know, it's like I don't think Parrott's gonna be great. I'm just retiring this conversation.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a new right tackle next year, and it won't be either one of those two.
I'm with you.
All right. Anything else on our offense?
Want to see more points. This is the game where I want to see it start. I don't care who's at quarterback. I really don't. I don't care if it is Glenn and I don't care if it is Jones. You know, give me more than 20 points. Now that shouldn't be a crazy ask, but I kind of feel like it is. Give me more than 20 points this game. This is a game at which the Giants offense, I know the offensive line is bad and the Dolphins blitz a lot, so you would think that doesn't match up well. But get the ball to Kenny Golladay deep down the field. Sterling Shepard's back. He's your security blanket. Darius Slayton is also a threat down the field. You know, he is a capable wide receiver. get these guys the football. Evan Engram, use him vertically down the field. There's a way to get these guys footballs, and you saw last week how Freddie Kitchens ran those 15-plus yard deep concepts, and even if you're not throwing the ball deep, there are still some things that can be open underneath for yards after the catch opportunity. So stretch the field. That opens up things underneath, but also take those shots as well. This Dolphins defense has allowed the most yards in the National Football League. I want to see some yards. I want to see a good offensive day. I really do.
I didn't realize that they've given up the most yards in the NFL this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. As far as their offense, Waddle's the one that scares me, you know, especially with the, you know, type of play style that Tua has right now, where Tua has the second at 33rd out of 34 with average depth of target, only shorter, only longer than Jared Goff. And Waddle, they've been getting Waddle in the quick game. You know, Waddle's, you know, you would think Waddle's a big play machine, 15 yards per catch. He's not even averaging 10 yards per catch. You know, he's averaging less than 10. You know, averaging about six catches, 63 yards a game. They're getting it to him quick and allowing him to get yak. Like, for wide receiver, he has the 10th most yak in the NFL this year. You know, 77 catches on the season for, you know, 760 yards. Like, Waddle worries me, and I don't think Adoree Jackson is going to play, and that's what makes me worry more. Because, like, are we going to have Bradbury playing him on that off coverage? Because I don't know if that's going to work. Like, you kind of, like, if I'm Patrick Graham, with the way Tua plays, like, my number one goal this week is, like, how are we going to disrupt Jalen Waddle? Like, do you put Aaron Robinson on him and jam him up and have safeties over the top, or, you know, have, you know, linebackers playing underneath on his routes? Like, he is priority number one for me this week, way more than a Mike Gesicki type.
Yeah, especially because Adoree Jackson's probably not playing. And James Bradbury is not exactly the type of corner that you would want on a quick, tiny, speedy Jalen Waddle. My approach, Bobby, now this is not really something the Giants do, but my approach to kind of halt a guy like Jalen Waddle is, James Bradbury, you're bigger, you're more physical than him, jam him at the line. Jam him at the line, disrupt the timing of the play, disrupt the timing of the route, and keep up with them after that. I mean, that's the approach. That's how my kind of simple-minded brain thinks about it. Is that a good approach?
That is a good approach. And Patrick Graham even talked about it. He actually talked about just that, you know, where it's like James Bradbury has the ability to disrupt guys at the front, and that can get a QB off of that read.
Yeah.
You know, where a guy can win the route later on in the play, but that QB has already kind of moved on from that wide receiver. You know, and you see Devontae Smith in, you know, the end of the Eagles game, where it's like, oh, he's open, which actually McKinney was over the top. I don't know if he would have made the play, but he was over the top. But I also think Patrick Graham's going to throw a bunch of different things at Tua, because Tua is still a young QB. I know the past two games he's completed over 80% of his passes, but Tua is a QB who can still be taken advantage of. You can throw different looks at him, you know, rotate your coverages, you know, play too high, buzz one of the safety downs.
Yep.
You know, play, have the corners replace the safety, like, throw different stuff at Tua, and that's how you can lead to turnovers. Because, again, Tua's been good the past couple weeks, but he's still a young QB who I think can be taken advantage of by a guy like Patrick Graham.
Yeah, Tua's been very efficient. So, you know, what scares me from the standpoint of what the Giants' weaknesses have been so far this year is that the Dolphins' offense, you know, they have the potential to run a lot of plays on this Giants' defense. But I am confident in, you know, when the Dolphins maybe cross the 50, or when they get into the field goal range, when they get into the red zone, when the field shrinks, it just gets harder to move the ball, and that's when the Giants' defense can really clamp down. You know, this is a game where I do really want to see a complete game on both sides of the ball. You know, spoiler, you know, no shit, Sherlock, but this is a game where, you know, sometimes when you play the Bucs, I'm not expecting a good defensive game. You know, when you play Pat Mahomes, oh, you know, we can allow big plays here or there. But against the way that we match up against this Dolphins defense and the way that we match up against this Dolphins offense, you know, two is efficient, but let's shut him down. Let's shut down this young guy who's been very efficient, 70% completion rate. He's one of the best at throwing RPOs in the NFL this year. You know, but let's take advantage of it, and let's have a good game on both sides of the ball. Good complete game.
A month ago, this team was 1-7. You know, like this should be a team that the Giants should walk into expecting to win. Yep. Now Mike Glennon being a quarterback hinders that, I think, a good bit, but maybe Daniel Jones plays, I don't know. Literally just been going back and forth on diagnosis on Daniel Jones all week.
Gun to your head. Does he play, yes or no?
No, Because the most recent one I heard was that he's not, from Pat Leonard.
For me, it's yes. I think he plays.
It's not what Pat Leonard says.
I know.
Mike Glennon's going to be available to the media on Friday.
But they both will be. I think they're going to both be available to the media on Friday.
No, Jones was available on Wednesday. They're not going to have him be available twice in 1 week.
I think he's going to play.
We'll see. I'm really interested to see how we can stop their run offense, because their run offense sucks. But they still do stick to run a good bit, especially when they have a lead, and you hear that in the interview. 3.6 yards per carry. Second worst in the NFL. Dex, Leo. And by the way, my criticism of Leo on the Monday pod was unwarranted. He actually had a good game. Dex, on the other hand, didn't. Okay. Let's make some plays at the middle. It's a bad offensive line. Stop the run on your own this week. It's very doable.
My giant factor is related to that.
Okay, beautiful. I'm excited to see Aziz, because Aziz he thrives against bad offensive lines. So I'm excited to see Aziz this week.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I feel like it's been a minute since anybody on the defense has gotten a sack. So
Austin Johnson got one last week.
Don't talk about him too much, please.
Okay. did we get any sacks versus Tampa?
No, I don't even think Tom Brady, I don't think we even put a finger on him.
I mean, none of our defensive tackles did. None of our edges did. Did we get like a safety blitz?
Julian Love got half a sack with Austin Johnson last week. I think that's how they split.
But I'm talking about the Tampa game. Did Tom Brady get sacked at all?
I don't think so. You know, Tom Brady had 29 pass attempts in the first half and nothing. So
beautiful. All right, you got anything else?
No. Let's we're 4-7, 5-7. Let's go two games under .500. Giants have kind of a difficult, weird 2 weeks, because they're not returning home. Whenever they start to travel to Miami, my jammy, as I like to call it, they're not going to return home for a few weeks, because then they're going to go to L.A., and I think they're going to practice at the University of Arizona. So they got a funky couple weeks coming up where they have two away games, a home game, another two away games, and then they come back home for the final game of the season. So let's do it. Let's rock and roll. Let's win a ball game. I don't care who's that quarterback. I hope Jones is there, but I want to win. I want to flat out. I just want to freaking win.
Try not to sneeze.
Oh, please do.
Speaking of sneezing and Aziz Ojulari and the Nets being the Knicks, football fans, I'm sure, God, it's got to suck for Knicks fans, because eventually they will beat the Nets, even though they haven't in like 760 days.
I also think KD is like 17-3 in his career against the Knicks. I think that's a stat.
Yeah, I mean, one day it's going to happen, and my mentions will turn, you know, people will go at me and make fun of me, but it's like, I just keep on waiting for it to happen, since, you know, like, I think since this podcast has started, I don't think the Knicks have beat the Nets, honestly.
I mean, don't hold your breath.
You know, so eventually it'll happen, but until then, football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. But with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once. A single point scored. Wow. Giants-Dolphins might not be the game to bet on that one. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Wow, that is just freaking awesome. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code JOHNBOY. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code JOHNBOY this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Do you think there's like any like listeners who are just Giants fans that have no clue what JOHNBOY media is? And they're like, what? JOHNBOY? What does that even mean?
I'm sure there's a decent portion.
Yeah, but I feel like they might not be like JOHNBOY Media people, but they know the large majority know who JOHNBOY Media is because of us. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania. Only new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And now we welcome on Brian Catt of On the Finside Podcast.
Come on, pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Play fast. Whoa. Ah.
All right, we now welcome on, trying to meet our opponent, Kat from On the Finside podcast, at Brian Kat NFL. Brian, we're both two teams that kind of have some New England resemblances, and I do want to talk about, like, Patrick Graham, him moving. Thank you for coming on, and I'll kick it right off. The Dolphins are second in blitz percentage, and that's all we hear is they're gonna put pressure. They're gonna put pressure. What type of blitzes are these, though, from Brian Flores? Are they the Ravens cover zero blitzes consistently, or is it like, you guys know, Patrick Graham like to do a lot of the zone blitzes where he may be dropping an edge out and sending a nick, like, you know, replacement blitzes? What is the identity of, like, that blitzing defense?
What you can really expect is the Dolphins to do a lot of cover zero blitzing. What you'll see if they do what they've been doing for the last 5 weeks is you'll see a lot of times seven players lining up on the line of scrimmage, and you'll see defensive linemen, linebackers, defensive backs, so that when the ball is snapped, sometimes they come at you with all seven, but a lot of times too, that they'll fake that look and maybe just bring one guy and drop the rest. And their linebackers and their defensive backs are fast enough to get back into those passing lanes. So that is what the Giants should see in this. And, you know, now that Mike Glennon's starting at quarterback, having a veteran who is 6'6", that really worked well for Joe Flacco a couple of weeks ago, even though Joe Flacco is not the best quarterback, because he was able to see that and stare down the gun barrel and get the ball into one-on-one coverages.
Well, it's been a whirlwind with our quarterback situation. It looks like Daniel Jones might be playing on Sunday. It was reported that Mike Glennon was starting, and then he's at practicing, and the coaches are making it seem like he's going to play, but it's not a guarantee. Maybe it's a smokescreen. I don't know.
Who would you rather have?
Oh, DJ easily.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was going to say a hurt Daniel Jones against Mike Glennon. I figured you'd still rather have Jones, especially to know what you have, as opposed to somebody who's played for six teams in 6 years.
And we just changed our offensive coordinator, which is like these next six games evaluating Jones are important, because I thought Jason Garrett was the biggest hindrance to this offense, more so than a bad O-line or Jones himself or a bad running game. Now, the Miami, you guys have been on, you know, a four-game winning streak. Do you think that's more of like the competition, and then, you know, you get a nice win versus the Ravens, or is it like, has something clicked with the Dolphins team?
So a little of both. So one thing the Dolphins have gotten back to is what you alluded to before, is getting back to that cover zero heavy blitzing. I don't know why they ever stopped, but really toward the end of last year, they stopped blitzing all the time. And it's not like it got figured out. They stopped blitzing so much during a winning streak last year, and then they came out so vanilla on defense. So you look at the last few games, I mean, yeah, they've had a cupcake schedule other than the Ravens. I mean, they beat the Texans. They had the impressive win over the Ravens. Then they beat the Jets. And now last week at home against Carolina, they beat up on Cam Newton. So yeah, they have had an easy schedule, but they've also allowed just 46 points in the last four games with nine turnovers by just getting back to that heavy heat blitzing and moving the defensive backs up on the line of scrimmage, as opposed to allowing them to get more into their routes.
So, I mean, you're talking about the success of the defense. It's overall in the season, it's kind of a middle of the pack. What are ways that, like, a team, like, if you're the Giants offensive coordinator, what are you trying to, like, do to get success versus a heavy blitz Miami defense?
Sure. And I think it's really important too, that what's the latest on Sterling Shepard and Kadarius Toney?
They're going to work with trainers on what, as we're saying, Thursday. It doesn't look good for either one of them, which I feel like Toney would have been huge for this game because of all, you know, because of the blitz heavy defense.
100% agree on that. I thought if they were able to spread the field out, get Sterling Shepard and Kadarius Toney back in the mix to pair with Slayton and Evan Engram and Kenny Golladay, that would have been huge, because when the Dolphins are sending that cover zero blitz, the other side of that is if you get one-on-one coverage or you get a receiver to catch a pass and break a tackle, it could be a 60-yard touchdown. We saw that a couple of weeks ago where Joe Flacco connected several times with receivers, one of which was a 64-yard touchdown to Elijah Moore, which was nothing special. He just caught a pass, broke a tackle, beat Byron Jones on that play, and he was gone. And that's the other side of this cover zero defense. Where I think the Giants might be in trouble as far as matchups is if they're depending on Darius Slayton and Kenny Golladay on the outside to beat that one-on-one coverage from Byron Jones and Xavier Howard.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, whenever the Giants are facing a cover zero blitz, you know, I get excited because it's like it's tough, it's difficult, you're going to be under pressure, and there's a lot more chance of making mistakes. But to me, it's like, okay, well, that there's also a lot better chance for big plays, and that's why I think, like you mentioned, Tony and Shepard would probably be the two more valuable receivers, more so than Golladay, if they were playing, and which stinks. Them being out. Last thing on the defense, Phillips, the last two games, he's put up better numbers than the rest of his season combined. Now, it's also been against two really bad offensive lines in Carolina. Like, you know, we have no pass rush. We were able to rush the passer versus Carolina. And then the Jets also. You told me before he lines up in the left tackle, Andrew Thomas, who's been playing really well. Do you see that continuing, or is it like, hey, he kind of took advantage of some bad offensive line play?
So last week, Jalen Phillips had three sacks, and it should have been at least four. He didn't quite get credit for one of them, and he was close on a few others. It was if you just look at it at face value, a great performance, but also the Panthers could not pick up a stunt to save their life, and that's what contributed to that success. So I see it being a very good matchup with Andrew Thomas, who, had he fallen one more spot, there were rumors that the Dolphins may have considered Andrew Thomas, even with Tua on the board. And, you know, a big, powerful player, I see that being a good matchup and probably one that favors the Giants a little bit, because even though Phillips is a big dude who can run, he hasn't quite mastered the speed rush yet. And that, if I'm not mistaken, would probably be the weakest part of Andrew Thomas's game, because he's such a big, powerful guy. So I don't think Phillips is going to win the strength matchup against Thomas. And that is one of the more intriguing matchups to watch in this game.
Yeah. I mean, Thomas has been really good this year, and he got better as the year went along.
Good hands too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was something that he needed to get better at. Offensively, Tua, the last couple of games, completing over 80% of his passes. Before that, it's kind of up and down, where a good game, but, you know, would have some turnovers. What is, like, the feeling, or just total feeling around Tua right now? And do you think, like, what he's done the last couple of weeks will be consistent going forward?
You know, there's a lot of heavy support for Tua right now for a couple of reasons. Number one, a lot of Dolphins fans, myself included, do not agree with the way Tua has been developed. When you put you either do one of two things at the quarterback position for a rookie. You let him sit and learn, or you put him in and let him sink or swim. The Dolphins instead were taking Tua in and out of the lineup. They did it three times over the last 2 years, and they put him behind a historically bad offensive line. So he has a lot of supporters based on that situation, as well as bringing Deshaun Watson into the conversation, when that's a whole different story of, you know, he wasn't going to be available anyway. But the other part of it too, is you look at Tua over the last two games, he has completed 43 of 47 passes with a clean pocket. And if you take a look at that and say, okay, if we build an offensive line around this guy, that accuracy is going to, you may not complete 90% of your passes from a clean pocket, but that accuracy is certainly there. So right now, Tua is being looked at as a very accurate quarterback, as long as he can get the time to throw. And he has gotten more time over the last few weeks.
So with that, if, you know, you're Patrick Graham, obviously some familiarity there. Although he has kind of changed to more of the two high stuff that the NFL is seeing this season. How would you attack Tua as a defensive coordinator with, and considering the Giants don't really have the pass rush to rush with four?
Disguise blitzes as well as you can, because he is still a young quarterback. And I think they also have the advantage too of having Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence pushing in on the inside. If you can have that push on the Dolphins interior line, which isn't incredibly difficult. And you also can design some exotic blitzes. that's how you can sandwich him from both sides. And we've seen that here this season, but you take a look at the last, couple of weeks here, the Panthers didn't do a great job after the first couple of quarters, or excuse me, after the first couple drives getting pressure on Tua. And then the week before, the Jets have no pass rush. So he hasn't seen a lot of pass rush for most of the last 2 weeks. So the more exotic the Giants can get with their pass rush, it's going to be better, and it's going to allow their defensive backs, who I'm really impressed by over the last few weeks, to get on the Dolphins receivers.
Seems like every week I'm seeing a metric of, you know, one of those charts where it's pass block win rate and PFF O-line blocking grades, even though I don't subscribe to PFF grades. And you see the Giants and the Dolphins down in the bottom corner. Is the offensive line kind of that bad right now?
Yes. One thing that has helped offset that a bit is that they've stuck with the running game a little bit more in recent weeks. But that, again, the Dolphins have only trailed for about a quarter in the last 4 weeks to any of their opponents. So that's allowed them to set up that running game. And by setting up that run game, there's a little bit, the defensive ends have a little bit more to think about, as opposed to just pinning their ears back and getting to the quarterback, which they were doing for the first, 7 weeks of the year. But to answer your question, 4 of the 5 Dolphins starters, in my opinion, are unplayable. Liam Eikenberg has been okay the last 2 games, but overall not good enough, has the short arm length. Actually compared him a lot to Justin Pugh, the former Giant, in that respect. And that, Pugh didn't, I don't think, played left tackle at all, just played right tackle and guard. Eikenberg, I think, should be in the same situation. Austin Jackson's terrible. Austin Ryder is terrible. Jesse Davis is worse. So Robert Hunt is the only, to me, playable guy on this line. The Dolphins in the offseason need to figure their offensive tackle position out on both sides so they can push Liam Eikenberg and keep Austin Jackson inside to compete at left guard.
Yeah, I mean, right now the Giants are, Andrew Thomas is really good, and then left guard through right tackle, they're not NFL starters. Justin told me you're a draft guy. I was pretty shocked you guys took Austin Jackson that early. Were you just as shocked?
I was irate when they took Austin Jackson at 18. And this is not just revisionist history here. I didn't understand it at the time, because I watched just about every snap Austin Jackson played his last year at USC, and he faced 3 draftable opponents that year. It was Julian Okorah from Notre Dame, who went in the 3rd round to you guys. Oh, no, excuse me, to the Lions he went, Romeo Okorah was also with, that's where I was.
So
Julian Okorah, Bradley Anae, and A.J. Epenesa. He went up against at USC his final year. He got roasted by all 3 guys. And I thought, how can you take this guy as a 20-year-old who faced NFL competition last year and got destroyed, but have him be the guy that comes in at left tackle and takes over for Laremy Tunsil? He's been really bad. But the other side of that is Liam Eikenberg hasn't really been much better. So the left side of the Dolphins offensive line is certainly hurting. Their other draft picks the last 2 years have started to look really good. So it's a shame that they didn't nail those 2 picks.
Yeah, we did a film review of him versus A.J. Epenesa, and we weren't the biggest Epenesa fans, but we're like, he clearly won this. In fact, I think that's the most hate we've ever gotten on a video. Sometimes we go back and read the comments of that. It's just Bills fans and Dolphins fans fighting back and forth for a couple, just like hundreds of them.
Oh, I believe it.
Kat, I appreciate you jumping on with us. Where can people find you if they're looking to get their Dolphins fix?
Sure, on Twitter, you can follow us on the Finside, all spelled out. And I'm Brian Kat NFL. And you and Justin do a great job. I really appreciate you having me on here. And if you ever need any Dolphins news or anything like that, feel free to reach out.
No doubt. Thanks.
No holds bad. He took me in the low post and won, but I think we had on the Varsity.
All right. Thanks, Brian, for coming on. Make sure to go give him a follow. Folks, it's time. It's time for the beautiful weather down in Miami with Danny King, and not weather that gets you sick like in Scumbag, New Jersey. Danny, how's the weather looking like in Miami this week?
I really wish I was going to this Miami game.
I wish I was too, but I can't because I'm sick.
That's unfortunate.
Because of New Jersey.
You would have never gone to 3 Giants games in a row, and you hate Miami.
I was thinking about
it.
Miami.
I love that city.
I like Miami more than New Jersey.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you would have liked the weather this Sunday because it's going to be, what, 80 degrees? This is more your style. You don't have to deal with that little cold weather, you know, a little rain. No, it didn't rain. It was just very cold up in MetLife. It's 80 snowed. Degrees. It snowed.
It was not that cold.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good.
It's 80 degrees. It's sunny. The wind's 10 miles per hour. It's just your average Florida game. Nothing special.
Great.
Miami never gets cold. Like, where I'm at, it gets cold sometimes. Miami just doesn't get cold.
What's cold, definition-wise, for you?
Like, it'll get into the 40s and 50s for us.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
Miami doesn't. Miami's, like, lowest is, like, 60s, 70s. Because they're just, they're 4 hours south of where I'm at.
Yeah.
When it does, every once in a while, it will get cold in Miami, and the iguanas fall out of the trees.
Oh, yeah. I always love seeing those. So, like, why are all these iguanas falling? It's like, well, because it's cold. You do this every single year.
Now, are they dead? Or do they, like, come back when the weather gets warm?
I don't know. Then the oranges freeze. It becomes a big issue.
Not the oranges, then the economy.
Yeah, it's big. It's big for the economy.
It's a big deal.
Oranges, vitamin D.
And the iguanas.
And the iguanas.
Yeah.
Can you start a GoFundMe for the iguanas?
Iguanas are pretty cool.
I just realized, like football podcasts got to be a thing right now because baseball's in a lockout. So, like, what else are you going to do? You're going to talk about the five greatest plays in Yankees history? No, you're going to want to listen to the weather.
Yeah, screw baseball.
What are they going to do on MLB Network? Not to get too off track, but they can't show, like, current highlights of current players. What are they going to do?
It's going to be a labor network.
You just watch old games. I'm pretty sure you can show. I don't even know. To be honest, I don't care. Yeah. Danny, what's the trivia this week?
Who has the most receiving touchdowns in a single game against Miami?
Is it Odell?
Justin, do you have an answer?
I feel like it's not Odell. I feel like that's too obvious. In a single game versus my jammy, it's certainly not coming from the 2007 game.
No.
Eli rushing touchdown in that game.
I kind of want to say Victor Cruz. I don't know, Danny. My guess is Victor Cruz, but that's not correct.
I'm going to say Odell, Monday Night Football, 2015.
I went obvious this week. I did go Odell. I feel like Odell hasn't been brought up recently, so I decided, just sprinkle him in there. What, he had two touchdowns that game against
Miami? People are asking if Odell ruined the Rams.
I think he did.
0% winning percentage with Odell.
I need Odell's father to be out on Facebook calling him out. Yeah, two touchdowns, seven passes, 166 yards on Monday Night Football in, how do you say it, Justin?
My jammy,
that's how it goes. But that was a great Monday night game. I really enjoyed it.
I was there. That was a fun game.
It was like, what, 34 or 31-24 or something along those lines. That was a very good Monday night game.
Yeah, it definitely was. All right. I have a clip on my Instagram of that, and you can actually see – I think it was Rashad James running the ball, and you see Eric Flowers just get lit up.
All right. What's the handle again so I can go look at that?
@BobbySkinner_on Instagram.
Okay, thank you.
Bad guy, all right. Danny King.
Fantasy draft. We draft players from the team the Giants are playing and the Giants, obviously. Daniel will be picking first last week. He lost command of the lead. It was a 0.8 point difference. He had an 11.9 point game last week. He's 8 points back at 403.3. Justin will be picking second. He's still in last place, but he is chipping away. He won the week last week with 34 points. He's 48 points back. And then myself, off of a 20.7 point performance, I'm in first at 411.4. So Danny can retake the lead, but it's not going to happen. But Danny, if you do, it's going to really pick number one matters the most. Who is your pick number one?
This is a tough one. This is really a tough one. I'm going to have to go with the hot hand right now, and that is back-to-back 20-point games. Giants offense isn't going to be much difference this week, probably, but I'm going to have to rock with Jalen Waddle this week. I just can't pass up Jalen Waddle just sitting there for me. He's too good. He's been playing well recently. Tua and him got the connection going. And, there's potential for a decent-sized play over there. So I'm going to take Jalen. And plus, with Dory Jackson out, who knows how the secondary is going to look this week. Is Dory Jackson going to be out? That's the expectation, right?
Yes.
My career. So, yeah, give me Jalen Waddle this week to have a big boy touchdown. Unfortunate big boy touchdown, might I add.
I had him up first on my big board, so I agree with this pick.
I picked the Bobby big board correctly. Let's freaking go.
I also made a big board this week, and this is how we know that I'm going to lose, because I made said big board. Jalen Waddle was also first on my big board. 2 weeks in a row, I'm going to go with my guy, and he kind of helped me out last week. Whoa, Danny King just threw a middle finger up. You didn't see it. Nobody saw it.
No one saw it. That's an accusation.
Oh, my gosh. Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay is going to be, I think he was my number three pick last week, or was, where was I ranked? Where was I picking last week, Bobby? How does first. This work? Oh, I picked first. I must have taken Kenny Golladay first. So 2 weeks in a row, I'm rocking with Kenny Golladay. Hey, he got 7 quality targets last week, you know, only 3-4 catches. Let's get some more catches. Let's get some more targets in a game where the Dolphins are allowing that average depth of targets a little higher up. Give me Kenny Golladay, and I'm feeling really good about that.
I actually had Kenny Golladay second on
He's
my
gotta
board.
Break out 1 week. I agree. Golladay was kind of enticing.
After those two, it kind of drops off a little bit because it's just inconsistent players. Now, for the Giants bias, I'm going to take who's number 4 on my big board. And that's Saquon Barkley.
Wow.
I mean, who, like, he's guaranteed touches, obviously. You know, he's going to be used in the receiving game a little bit, you know. So if he gets 3 catches for 28 yards, that's 5.8. Plus, if he has, you know, fit, like, he's a guaranteed point getter where I don't think anyone else really is besides Gaskin and Gesicki. And Gesicki was 3rd on my big board, so, but I'm going to be taking him next. But I wanted to take the Giants player first. So Gesicki. Mike Gesicki, he is and I like Gesicki, a lot. He is my second pick with my 4th overall pick, even though he was 3rd on my big board. But I picked Saquon first for the Giants bias. Yeah, I mean Gesicki's a good player. He's their number 2 receiving option on that team. So yeah, I'm going Mike Gesicki with my pick. Justin, who you got next?
I mean, you picked Saquon. Saquon's the 39th ranked fantasy running back, and I'm going to be picking Miles Gaskin. Miles Gaskin is the 16th ranked fantasy running back this year, and I just feel like I absolutely got a steal. So Gesicki's off the board, so give me Gaskin. He was ranked 4th on my big board, and I'm getting him 5th.
That's not great value. Stop pretending. Danny, you got back-to-back picks.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This
Maybe
is
if you're really lucky, you'll get the guy who's 5th on your big board with the 6th pick.
Well, I'm going to take Evan Engram this week. I'm going to take him here. Yeah, laugh. It's going to work out perfectly for me. Clip that. No, I think Evan. I still rock with Evan Engram. He gets targets. He gets catches these days. He'll drop one because I think he dropped one last week that almost turned into a pick for Avante Maddox. It didn't work out for Avante, unfortunately. And then from here, I know he was added last minute, and I'm going to quickly do the quick punch in. Devontae Parker. You know what? I think I might take Parker because I think he is on my actual fantasy team. He has been activated off IR though, but he said resume practice on Wednesday. Yeah, give me Devontae.
All right, Devontae Parker. Last time we played the Dolphins, Janoris Jenkins was my giant factor because of Devontae Parker. Because
I mean, Devontae, when he plays, he gets points.
Yeah, he puts up a little bit of production when he plays, and the Dolphins really don't have anybody consistent at that wide receiver 2 spot. Like, it would be Waddle and Gesicki, and then nobody else was really a realistic option at wide receiver 2. And Gesicki's a tight end, so good pick in Parker.
Justin, your 3rd pick.
But the fact that this guy is still here, Sterling Shepard's still around?
No, he got picked.
Oh, he got picked. All right.
Who picked? Oh, it was Bobby.
All right, they can be Darius Slayton.
No, I was lying. Shepard's there.
Oh, come on.
I thought Shepard was taken.
All right, give me Sterling Shepard. You know, this is his first game back, and, you know, regardless of, you know, who's that quarterback, I hope it's Daniel Jones. Security blanket, we talked about him in the first half of the show. I feel like getting Sterling Shepard at this point is pretty good value. I'm coming back.
Yeah, he is, but I got burned by not picking someone that played last week in Kadarius Toney, so I probably would have taken Shep with my last pick, so I am a little disappointed that he went off the board.
To be fair, I balanced it out with the Penny pick, so, and I forgot the L, that's on me, bad guy move. Forgot to have the L on my...
Oh, come on.
Oh, what, we made a bet, right, didn't we?
Yeah. Hang on. Bobby, make your pick, I'm gonna quickly grab an L.
Okay. Alright, so my last 2 picks... Guy who's 6 on my big board, I'm going Darius Slayton. And then with my final pick, I'm gonna stall until Danny King gets back. Because I actually don't know what I'm going to do. Because next on my big board is technically Albert Wilson. But John Ross excites me. And then I could kind of hedge the Darius Slayton with John Ross. But then their backup, tight end Durham Smythe, could be it. Or I could play the Chris Myrick revenge game angle. And go, I might go with Chris Myrick. I really might go with Chris Myrick.
Like, was Myrick just picked?
I'm thinking about it. It's a revenge game versus the Dolphins. In fact, I entered the interview and he asked me, like, what's up with Chris Myrick? I was like, we love him.
We love him.
Sheesh. What am I going to pick? I really don't know who I'm going to pick. My big board says Albert Wilson. My heart says Chris Myrick. And then my big board slash heart tells me John Ross. I'm sticking to the big board, Albert Wilson.
Ooh.
And I'm regretting it as I wrote it down.
He's boom or bust.
Durham Smythe is who is the guy that was next on my big board.
Are you picking him?
Am I up?
Yeah. Yes.
No, give me John Ross. Screw it.
Let me get a John Ross. Who doesn't drop the ball anymore, which is pretty fun. Like, he doesn't drop the ball anymore.
Your summer talking point. This guy makes Evan Engram look like a saint.
He did. And Evan Engram doesn't drop the ball either.
Yeah.
Evan Engram's coming for that 5-year, $100 million contract. So Darius Slade is still on the board, right?
No, I picked him while you were outrageous. Gone.
Wow. Do I want to follow Justin's big board right now? That's risky move. That's risky business.
I'm losing this week. This is bad that I made big board.
The Giants have just no one left in my opinion. Do they? No, not really.
Devontae Booker, Chris Myrick.
No. Chris Myrick, love you. Not taking you, though.
Come on, take Chris Myrick.
I can't do that because I already did it last week when I didn't take, what's his name?
You would have taken Chris Myrick instead of Elijah Penny. You would have won last week.
I guess I could have. I didn't know Chris Myrick was a human being until Sunday at 1 o'clock. I'm going to take Durham Smythe. Smythe? How do you say his last?
Smith with a Y. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just going to play like that. Justin, it's on his big board. Justin sounds like he did a little bit of research this week into his big board. So I'm going to believe, or maybe Justin just had the biggest smokescreen known to mankind. I have another pick, don't I?
No, that's the last. Okay. That's the end. Right. To recap, Danny has Jalen Waddle, Evan Engram, Devontae Parker, Durham Smythe. He's 8 points off the lead. Justin, who's 48 points off the lead, has Kenny Golladay, Miles Gaskin, Sterling Shepard, and John Ross. And then myself, who's in first place, Saquon Barkley, Mike Gesicki, Darius Slayton, and Albert Wilson. Giant factors. Danny, we got some last-minute news. Are you going to do a last-minute change to your giant factor?
Do I do it?
You have to do it at this
point.
Do
I do it?
Do it.
Guys, Daniel Jones is injured again. It's become a regular occurrence these days for Jones. It's unfortunate. He's trying to make a name for himself, but when you can't stay healthy, you got to have someone capable to replace him. Last year in Seattle, a legend was made. Colt McCoy, the sheriff, the OG sheriff, rose from the ashes and beat the Seahawks when no one believed he could. He didn't beat Cleveland, but that's not the point. Colt McCoy got it done in Seattle. Daniel Jones has the next train. It looks like it's setting itself up again. Once again for another legend to rise from the ashes in Miami. Mr. Longneck himself, the sheriff, the new sheriff in town, Mike Glennon. I believe in him to get the job done. I believe Mike Glennon's playing. I think the Giants are playing smokescreen, or they're doing the smokescreen no matter what. They want Miami to think. Mike Glennon, do I think he's better than Colt McCoy? No. I think Colt McCoy is a better backup, in my opinion. But Mike Glennon's a capable backup quarterback. The Giants have weapons, just how I saw that look. But Mike Glennon has the weapons. Kenny Golladay, he's going to have a breakout game. Sterling Shepard's back. That's a good security blanket. No Kadarius Toney, unfortunate. But Miami, one of the heavier blitzing teams in the NFL. Throw one out to Kenny Golladay. Give Kenny Golladay these one-on-one opportunities this week. But Mike Glennon, the new sheriff, the man I will put my trust in. If he plays Sunday, the Giants will win. Guaranteed. I will bet my life on it because I trust Mike Glennon that much. Mike Glennon, the new sheriff in town, baby.
It's just throwing me off that you're saying Mike Glennon.
Because I'm doing it because of a certain coach who was recently fired, called him Glennon, and I just call him Glennon because of that.
Chucky.
Yeah, Chucky did it. If you watched Hard Knocks, you don't understand. He's like, Glennon, get out here. So it's weird.
Him.
But I find, him. Yeah, I know it's Mike Glennon. I'm not crazy. I know, okay. I suck at names.
I was about to be like, what?
It's Mike Glennon, but Mike Glennon, the sheriff, the OG, is my Giants factor. Let's go backup quarterbacks. I bet my life on those guys.
All right. I'm up. Kind of a boring one this week, and it's kind of random. Austin Johnson. Austin Johnson, baby. Dolphins run the ball a lot. They like to dedicate themselves to running the ball. Dolphins are not a very good rushing team in general. They're kind of bad. They're kind of around the same level and territory as the Giants rushing offense in terms of their productivity and their efficiency. So, Austin Johnson, you know, you're kind of, You're kind of Dalvin Tomlinson's replacement, right? We don't even want to mention Danny Shelton's name, and Danny Shelton's a part of him being a member of this roster. Austin Johnson, you've even stepped up in the pass rushing department too, so be a giant factor this week. Help limit this Dolphins rushing offense. Make sure that they don't have a really good coming out party against the Giants. Austin Johnson, you're my giant factor.
All right, I'm starting to feel sicker by the minute, and I think all the talking is doing it, so I'm going to keep it simple. Jalen Waddle, he's the player on the other side that we worry about. James Bradbury, I'm assuming you're going to be matched up with him, so you got to win that battle. You win that battle, the Giants defense wins this game. Simple as that. You know, we could score 17 points on offense, and if we can shut down Jalen Waddle, I think we win this game. So James Bradbury, you're my giant factor, keeping it short and simple this week.
I'll be honest with you, for half a second I thought you were about to say Jalen Waddle was your giant factor with the way you started. I was like, Jalen, what?
Maybe we should start picking other players as giant factors, like Jalen Reagor. Like, dude, drop the ball a few times this week. It'll make a big difference for us. All right, quick picks.
And before we do quick picks, we got to talk about something. Danny King, you're back in college, right?
I am.
I mean, you got a few weeks left.
2 weeks.
Few weeks left until you go home for like a month straight, right?
Yeah.
So you want to know what you got to get ready for?
What do I got to get ready for?
You got to get Roman ready.
Oh, you're right.
Roman ready.
Got to get that pecker ready.
Get that pecker ready for the last month during, reading day. Is that a thing on your college campus? That is a thing. Reading day? You ain't going to be doing much reading.
We ain't reading, baby.
Don't be doing much reading on reading day. You know, you make sure that you're Roman ready. So when the moment for intimacy arrives, you need to be ready, Roman ready. Whether you've been in a relationship for years, or you're just getting started, or you're in the final month and the final stretch at college, and you got to get ready for a little bit of intimacy, you better make sure that you are Roman ready. So I want you to get roman.com/johnboy. I want you to go to that site now to speak to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional about erectile dysfunction and get $15 off your first month of treatment. The benefits of ED treatment can help you reconnect with your partner and rediscover the joy of sex. Roman's system is completely confidential and totally discreet. No big logos or labels or packages or anything. So even, hey, Danny King, if you want to get it shipped to you.
Big package will be in your pants.
Oh, that's true. Good
yeah,
pun.
Yeah, that's true.
If you want to get it shipped to you at college, or if you live in an apartment, there's going to be nothing that's really obvious and nothing that's going to be really embarrassing. However, ED is not embarrassing. It's something that, like, 55% of all men experience. So
it's common.
GetRoman.com/JohnBoy today. And if you're prescribed, get $15 off your first month of ED treatment. Make sure that you have the confidence and control this fall and as we're getting close to winter. Be ready. Be Roman ready. Thank you to Roman.
Thank you, Roman. You're the best. You're the best, Roman. And you make our wieners the best. All right. Spread picks. Coming off of an 8-0 week myself.
Wow. Oh, you went 8-0, Bobby?
Yeah. Oh, I went 8-0. 49-46 on total. I needed it too because I went under 500.
Wow.
I was pretty depressed. I was like, oh my God, I freaking had two bad weeks in a row. I went under 500. I'm never going to recover.
You might got to put Gambling Expert in your bio.
Recovered 49-46 overall. Listeners who will be represented by Jacob Brown went 6-2 last week. They're 46-49. Justin went 2-6. He sucks. 41-54. And then Danny, who was in first place, went 5-3 last week, is a 53-42. But I'm only 4 games back now, where I was 7 games back and I felt like it was insurmountable. Now it's not insurmountable. First game, Thursday Night Football, Cowboys at Saints +6. Listeners going Cowboys -6. If Taysom Hill wasn't starting, I might have picked the Saints. But I'm going Cowboys -6, even though the Saints are 2-0 with Taysom Hill as their QB. Justin, who do you got?
Cowboys -6.
Daniel.
I mean, like, here it says the Cowboys have the least likely chance to cover, but I'm going to rock with the Cowboys. They're going to have a get-right game this tonight against the New Orleans of Saints.
I guess I won't do the Thursday Night Football tweet because we're all picking the same pick. Not doing that. Thanks, guys. All right. We got Chargers at Bengals -3. Danny, who are you going in this one?
Wow, this game plays with my heart because I really like the Bengals, but I'm also a big-time Justin Herbert believer. I'm going to rock with the Cincinnati Bengals this week as the -3 favorites. I'm going to take Joey B, Jamar C, and Jesse Bates.
the listeners went Chargers plus three. Justin, who are you siding with, Danny or the listeners?
I'm siding with Danny, unfortunately. The Chargers defense is not that great, so Bengals minus three.
Unfortunately, you guys are siding with me as well. I'm going Bengals minus three. I'm not the biggest Chargers believer this year. Can I, you know, just to be real with you. So, Brandon Staley, great at those press conferences. Make your defense better.
Yeah.
And I think Joe Burrow wins this one. This was the, I can't find an eighth game. Let me find the closest spread game of the week.
This game's fun, I'll be honest.
Cardinals at Bears plus 7.5.
I looked at the wrong game.
I was close to pitting the Bears.
No.
But I remembered how bad their offensive line is. And it's like, oh my gosh, Arizona's going to eat them alive. And I went Cardinals minus 7.5. Justin, it sounds like you're going Cardinals minus 7.5 too.
I mean, just out of principle, I have to pick against the Bears every single week. And we were right last week. That was like one of the two games that I got right. Give me Cardinals minus 7.5. Marcus Golden has 2 sacks.
I mean, you could pick the Bears.
No, the Bears lost the spread last week, Justin.
Yeah.
They won by 2. What? The spread was 3.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Oh,
I mean,
shoot.
I mean, I'm going to be rocking with the Cardinals, whether it's Colt McCoy or Kyler Murray. It's probably going to be Kyler this week, and that's just obviously a big boost for Arizona. And the Bears, like you said, they're just not good. Is it if the Bears lose, is Nagy gone, though? Because that was the talk against Detroit. If he lost, he's gone. Is he a week-on-week basis now? It's interesting.
Be interesting. I think the owners, like, they let it leak out, and they realize, like, hey, you probably shouldn't leak out that you're going to fire the coach 3-4 days before the game.
Yeah, especially against the Lions.
That's so they realize that, hey, we can't do this because this is going to look really bad on us.
Yeah, unfortunate.
So we're all going Cardinals. Listeners went Cardinals as well.
I'm really looking forward to this next game, by the way.
All right, Washington at Raiders minus 2.5. Tell us why you're looking forward to it, Danny.
Because this is just like a game with a lot on, like, Washington's lurking right now. Dallas is weak. Washington's lurking in the shadows. The Raiders had a get right game against Dallas. Like, Raiders look solid. Two teams fighting for their – Washington mainly fighting for their playoff lives. I believe they might be in the wild card spot now. Raiders still trying to prove they can overcome the challenges from these early on in the season. Raiders, what, 2.5-point favorite? I'll be honest. I'm feeling the football team this week. I'm going to be picking the Washington football team.
Wow. I am going Raiders minus 2.5. I was worried this was going to be one of those games where we all picked the same one, but we're not. Justin, are you going with me or Danny?
Unfortunately for Danny, I'm going with Danny again. I don't think Darren Waller's playing, and that kind of hurts the Raiders. So give me Washington plus 2.5.
Me and the listeners are going Raiders.
And I also pulled off a major trade in the fantasy league because Dalvin Cook got hurt. Antonio Gibbs is now my running back.
Is Dalvin Cook going to be back for the fantasy playoffs?
I'm under the impression he won't be because the championship's December 20th. I'm uncertain. That's me thinking I'll make it to the championship, so I'm going to believe he's not coming back. Because
I have him. This week is the last week before the playoffs, and then I'll have a bye week most likely. So it's like I can survive 2 weeks without him, but I don't know if I can survive. I can win the champion. And I've never won the championship. I've taken second place a few times, and I'm like a gold Yahoo Fantasy Football member too, but I just have never been able to seal the deal. Like I'm consistently good every year. Like I've missed the playoffs like once in the past 10 years. It's just I can't finish the deal. I'm like the freaking Buffalo Bills of fantasy football.
I traded Cook to Coffee for Antonio Gibson. I basically traded a good chunk of my team for Antonio Gibson.
Ravens at Steelers plus 4.5. Listeners are going Ravens minus 4.5. This is too much big of a spread for AFC North Ravens versus Steelers. I'm going Steelers plus 4.5 just out of principle. It's like when the Steelers and Ravens, this is going to be a close game. So I think the Ravens will win the game by 3, but the Steelers will cover plus 4.5. Justin.
I'm going with the listeners. I think the Steelers stink, and the Ravens have a bounce-back game.
They do, but the Steelers are still going to cover. Danny.
I'll be siding with Justin. Ben Roethlisberger just looked terrible on Sunday. He just looked terrible. Can we see Dwayne Haskins for the end of the year? That's my one request.
They aren't
going to
play him. They're going to play anyone who's around Dwayne Haskins realizes, like, oh, why do we have him?
Yeah, I know. Like, it's funny that they picked him up and they started Mason Rudolph. But, yeah, I mean, Big Ben looks horrible. And
Mason Rudolph's horrible, too.
Yeah, oh, he's terrible. But, yeah, I'm going to rock with Lamar and the Ravens.
Niners at Seahawks plus 3. Who do you got in this one, Danny?
Niners. 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 I think the Niners right now, the Seahawks are just not good. They're not good, and they just picked up Adrian Peterson. They're just the Seahawks are not good. I mean, they're frauds. Russell Wilson, fraud. Pete Carroll, fraud. DK Metcalf, who I traded away, fraud. They're all frauds over there in Seattle.
I agree about the Seahawks, but here's the thing. I keep on just picking the Seahawks, and I think I'm just going to keep picking the Seahawks until it happens. I'm going Seahawks plus three. Justin, who are you siding with?
Have Danny and I agreed every single pick? I'm going 49ers minus three.
Oh, God, we might have.
Yeah, you guys literally have agreed on every pick. Oh,
Danny, my God. This is going to be a bad week, bro.
What have I done?
It's going to be a bad week, bro.
And I've disagreed on three of those picks, and I'm back four games, so these next few games are important. Listeners also went 49ers.
Wait, hold on. One more thing with the 49ers. Did you see that the Ian Rappaport said that the 49ers, that the Seahawks, I'm sorry, I said 49ers. See that Ian Rappaport said that the Seahawks signing Adrian Peterson means that they're in win now mode?
Did he really?
This is a serious football take juice that I have.
My headphones have been really high this whole time, so hopefully there's not too much echo in the audacity.
This is a serious football take that I have. Saquon Barkley is going to be a Seattle Seahawk.
Oh.
We'll see.
Oh.
We will see. They don't have any first rounders to trade, though.
Oh, yeah. Saquon's worth the first rounder.
I mean, they'll have a first rounder.
Someone will trade a first round pick for Saquon. I guarantee it. All right. Broncos at Chiefs minus 9.5. I mean, this is just too big of a spread for the Chiefs right now. Like, if this were the Chiefs last year, sure. But I'm going Broncos plus 9.5. Listeners went Chiefs, though. Danny, who do you got?
Broncos, they're a fun team.
Broncos modern life.
I mean, I'm going to have to... Can we make this clear? They thought this was the best game to flex into Sunday Night Football. I swear there's a better game to do this week. They're like, nah, Broncos, Chiefs. I swear there's a better game to do this
week.
Why
wouldn't there... They should have done Chargers, Bengals. Like,
thank you. That's Burrow, what it is. It was Chargers, Bengals.
Burrow and Herbert are going to be a staple in the AFC for hopefully the next like 10 years plus. Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah, but I will also be sided with Bobby and the Broncos. I the Chiefs, yeah, they had a good game, but they're not the Chiefs of old. So I think the Broncos.
Aaron Rodgers on the bye week. I'm starting Bridgewater in fantasy, so hopefully.
I respect him.
Justin, who do you got?
Yeah, I'm also gonna go Broncos plus 9.5. You know, they play the too high. You know, Vangio with the too high, and that, you know, that seems to give Pat Mahomes some problems. So Broncos plus 9.5.
All right, Monday Night Football. We usually don't pick Monday Night Football on it, but it's maybe the best game of the week.
It is the best game.
Oh, yeah.
Is Manning just going to be on this one?
Yes.
Nice. I don't know why they put it on the Giants game, because, like, you know, Giants fans aren't going to watch it. Anyways.
I watched it. I thought it helped me enjoy the game.
I heard they were just trashing Jason Garrett on the Bucs.
The timeout usage, they were trashing on him. Julian Edelman was funny. I think Al Michaels on that week? He might have been.
No, he was in the week before, because I remember tweeting that he's extremely boring. Oh, it was Parcells. Like, he gambles.
yeah, it was Parcells. Like,
wow, so interesting.
It was honestly very good. But they were needed last week, but they're going to be so fun to listen to this week.
Al Michaels is so boring. It's like, wow, he calls plays. Wow, what an interesting fella. Patriots at Bills minus 2.5. Justin, who are you going?
Pats, hottest team in the NFL. Bills turn over the ball, and Patriots defense is really, really good, playing the most complimentary football in the National Football League. Patriots plus 2.5.
Danny,
I should probably go to this game. Like, it's only like an hour away from this game. Like, now that I think about it,
you should.
I probably should.
It's gonna be cold as hell.
Oh yeah,
tickets are gonna be expensive as hell too.
Yeah, that is true. So, like, do we know like what future Giants GM Lewis Riddick is thinking for this game? I'm very intrigued.
Dude, I'm starting to get worried about that. I really am. I'm really starting to get worried about that. People are making hints at that, and it's really starting to worry me. It really does scare the crap.
They're gonna interview him, and don't be alarmed. They're going to interview him.
They're gonna interview him.
But hopefully he's not hired.
But I'm scared it's going to happen, man.
After the Giants game, when like people are like, we need Lewis Riddick as our GM, I'm like, guys, calm down. You have gone off the rails. And I heard,
It was Bart Scott today. Bart Scott today said, are you gonna make the trade for Russell Wilson to the Giants? Bart Scott said to Lewis Riddick. I think it was today.
Yeah, so it's starting to scare me. I mean, that guy said like Dwayne Haskins was the clear-cut number one QB. Like, over not just Daniel Jones, over Kyler Murray. Would have not picked a left tackle in 2020. Would have still taken Saquon. Like, gosh,
I killed the mood. I brought up Lewis Riddick. That's on me. Bad guy move. I'm in agreement with Justin. The Patriots are one of the better teams in the NFL right now, and I don't know how they're not the favorites this week. I get this, the Bills. No, I just realized. What am I doing?
Circle the wagons, bro.
I just chose against the wagons. Oh, no.
You can still pick the Bills.
I can't do it this week. I can't. Because Bobby, you're on my tail, and I need to pick the Patriots because I do believe they are better than the Buffalo Bills right now.
Listeners went Bills. You guys picking the Patriots makes me want to go Bills.
I'm really hoping I forced your hand right there.
And you guys literally picked the same pick for every single game.
Oh, boy.
But
oh, boy.
I'm just kind of all in on the Patriots. Like, I think I'm just rooting for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl this year. Like, I'm a hardcore. Like, I love Bill Belichick. You know, he's like on that group of football heroes of mine. I love Bill, and I want to see him get it done. I really do. And so I'm going Patriots plus 2.5. Predictions for Giants versus Dolphins. Danny, what do you got?
The Giants. What are they going to do? Are they going to make a playoff run? Probably not. This is the week. Like, obviously, last week was Freddie Kitchens' first game. This is the week. If we're going to see real change, this is the week. But Glennon, Jones, I realistically don't. I know, Bobby, so you think Glennon's going to start. I'm thinking Jake Fromm's going to start at this point. Giants are going to win in Miami, though. That's a joke. Giants are going to win in Miami. I can't even think of a score because I just legitimately don't know how this game will play out. I'll say 22-11. I'm going to throw a random score out there this week. New York Giants could beat Miami and start a very long road trip.
22-11. I'm actually rooting for that to happen now.
Is that Scorigami? That might be Scorigami.
I don't know. I'm surprised at how much people love Scorigami. Like, those tweets, whenever they happen, get like 80,000 likes.
Because it's just fun. It's just like,
yeah, I'm being a grump today. I'm like, ooh, wow, I'm being a grump. I get it. Justin, what's your prediction for Giants Dolphins?
Road to 9-8.
Don't do it.
It's going to continue.
Don't do it.
Giants win. They will go 5-7. Giants 26, Dolphins 13. It will be an easy game. Maybe not in the third quarter, but in the fourth quarter, we're going to be breathing a sigh of relief and celebrating a good victory.
I actually thought about making this a 2-0 game, but I can't force it. I really can't force that.
No.
It's too early. Because, you know, the injury with the quarterback, I thought about it, and I'm sick. And it's like, I can't force it. Like, I actually have to feel it, and I just don't feel it. You know, like, I feel like this is, you know, maybe if we're playing, you know, the Patriots or something.
Or Dallas. No, let's win. This is the Dolphins. Let's win this freaking game.
Exactly.
Let's
do it. This team at one point of the season was 1-7. We got to win this game. Giants 77, Dolphins 0. By the way, we don't lose to Florida teams, okay? We appreciate you guys. We'll see you on Monday. Actually, we lost to the Bucks a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I was about to be like,
we don't lose to the Dolphins is what I meant to say. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you on Monday. Chris Myrick revenge game. Chris Myrick revenge game. Chris Myrick revenge game.
Patrick Graham revenge game.
Chris Myrick revenge game. We appreciate you guys. Matt Skura and Bernardrick McKinney were on their teams for training camp and got cut. Revenge game. Bernardrick McKinney and Matt Skura were on the Dolphins for training camp and got cut. Revenge game. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you on Monday for a victory podcast. Until then, let's go Big Blue.